In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, glory to Jesus Christ. We find ourselves now at the very beginning of Clean Week, which is how we begin Great and Holy Lent. And during this week, we, of course, a major component of this is we are praying the canon of what's called the Canon of Repentance, or otherwise known as the Great Canon of St. Andrew of Crete. And this is a very, very important spiritual exercise for us to go through, because in Lent, we are confronted with this basic question, and the question is, do we focus on ourselves, or do we focus on the other, our neighbor? Because here we hear both messages. We hear messages from our Lord saying that our attention should be, and certainly on Sunday of the Last Judgment, that our focus should be on how we treat our neighbor is a measure of how we are, how we approach God. And at the same time, we also have the question about the inward focus, that we are focusing on our own soul and not judging our brother, as we hear in the prayer of St. Ephrem, which we pray throughout Great Lent. And so the question is, in Lent, do we focus on ourselves or do we focus on our neighbor? The answer, of course, is yes. Why? Because it's a matter of different optics. On one hand, we are to do what the Lord commands us to do. We are to love and forgive our neighbor, and we seek repentance, seek peace, and pursue it. But at the same time, a major focus is on the state of my own soul, which is wretched and fallen into ruin, where the Lord has no place to lay his head, as we pray in the prayers before Holy Communion. And the purpose of the Great Canon is really our opportunity to look into the state of our own soul. The focus of this is really upon our own selves and our own spiritual state. And that's why this process of praying the Great Canon during the first week, we do it in the first week and we return to it again during the course of Lent, is so very, very important to do. Very briefly, by way of background, of course, this is a canon. It's attributed to St. Andrew, Bishop of Crete, on or about the 7th century. Just technically speaking, a canon, if you hear this term, refers to a hymn, or really collectively a set of hymns. And a canon contains a series of odes. There are usually 9 of them in structure, each of which begins with what's called an irmos, which conveys a specific biblical reference. And it then is followed by a series of hymns with a sort of a reprise of the original theme back at the end of each ode. And so this is the structure of the Great Canon. And we usually pray it in the context of the Office of Compline every night during the first 4 days of Clean Week. But oftentimes, by necessity, we're going to break it up into sections. It's typically in parish settings, it's broken up into different parts. Sometimes it's prayed apart from the context of the of Compline. Sometimes it's prayed even also on Wednesday following the Liturgy of the Pre-Sanctified Gifts in some parishes. Sometimes it's not. But however it's done, the important thing is to pray it. That's the important thing. And so, what are the themes that are brought forth in this? Well, it has a lot to do with, it's asking basic questions that it's posing difficult questions that the composer of the canon is asking himself, but it's a reflection that each of us makes personal to ourselves. What is the condition of my soul? Where is God's mercy? How is salvation possible? And it recalls the history of humanity as presented in Holy Scripture, people who are made in the image and likeness of God, and they're made for God, and it chronicles their falling away, their faithlessness toward God, and ultimately their repentance. And it does so with lovely poetry, but it's devastating when we open our hearts to it and really take the words in and spend time with it. The priest, in a really excellent article, a very short article about the canon of St. Andrew of Crete, the priest Father Victor Potapov writes the following. Through the individuals and events recounted in the Great Canon, the history of the Old Testament and the New Testament passes before us. Its author points out to us our forefathers falling into sin and the corruption of the original world. He points to Noah's virtues and the bitterness and lack of repentance shown by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He resurrects for us the memory of the righteous patriarchs and valiant men, Moses, Joshua, son of Nun, Gideon, and Jephthah. He allows us to look at King David's piety, his fall, and touching repentance. He points out to us Ahab's and Jezebel's impiety, and also the great paradigms of repentance, the Ninevites, Manasseh, the harlot, and the wise thief. He accords special attention to Mary of Egypt, and more than once stops the reader at the cross and at the Holy Sepulchre of our Lord. Everywhere he teaches repentance, humility, prayer, and self-denial. It is in these examples that the exhortation to the soul constantly takes place. O my soul, remember this righteous one. Thus did he please God. Remember that righteous one as well. Thus did he please God. You have done nothing comparable. You being you, my soul. The Bible speaks of some individuals in a positive light and about others in a negative one. We must emulate the one and not the other. So, in this context, we see all these people, all this history, and we examine our own selves in this particular context. We take a good, hard look inside at our own soul, and the outcome tends not to be pretty. The themes that we come across in the Great Canon, of course, there's a theme of lamentation, a meditation on the past foolishness and the wasting of my own life, my many transgressions, again, compared to those archetypes of old, and just like Adam and Eve, I am banished from paradise just like they were because of my transgressions, because of the wreck of my own life. For example, there's a beautiful image early on in the canon, this image that has returned to about my garment, which recalls baptism with its imagery of the literal baptismal garment, but also the putting on of Christ, the hymn that we sing at the service of the baptism, and the death of the old person to sin and the taking on of the new, the idea of regeneration, but then the inevitability of the betrayal of that baptism in our everyday walk and our collision of the reality of life in a fallen world. I have stained the garment of my flesh and have defiled that which was made in thine image and likeness, O Savior. I have darkened the beauty of my soul with passionate pleasures and have turned my whole mind entirely to dust. I have torn the garment that the Creator first wove for me in the beginning, and therefore I lie naked. Here again, a reference to Adam and Eve. I clothed myself in the torn robe that the serpent hath spitefully stitched for me by his counsel, and now I am ashamed. All of this imagery, again, returning us to the primordial beginnings of humanity, of Adam and Eve, and the fall and the expulsion from paradise, which we just celebrated at the gates of Great Lent. So, and a common recurring theme throughout all of this is that the end is near, the time of judgment is at hand, which again is a theme that we've heard in the Triodion and in the hymns and what we have listened to and heard leading up in the preparatory weeks getting us ready for Great Lent. And so now is the time to repent, to turn back. Again, by way of example, we see the comparison to King David that we hear in the Great Canon. Oh, David, the forefather of God, once sinned doubly, O my soul, being pierced with the arrow of adultery and struck with the spear of a murderer's remorse. But you, my soul, are more gravely ill than he, for worse than any acts are the urgings of your will. Here again, this shows the structure of the canon, where this is the dialogue of the author with his own soul. It's like a dialogue. So with that pronoun you, it refers to the soul of the person who is the composer of this. And it, as we pray it ourselves, it becomes our own dialogue with our own heart and with our own soul. So I am saying, my soul, I've sinned worse than the forefather than David, the forerunner of God. He sinned doubly, but I've done worse than he. So this is the theme, and this is the kind of the lens by which we are to approach the canon. Each of these verses that we hear and all of these hymns that are sung, we should be placing ourselves squarely in this dialogue. It's our own dialogue with our own soul. And at the beginning of each of these odes of the canon, of course, is the Irmos, as we said at the beginning, again containing these biblical references referring back to the canticles from Scripture, but those contain a hint in some ways. There's always like a message of hope or a way out of this dialogue that's offered, and we find them there. Themes like God's mercy and compassion, Christ, who is the rock of faith in our salvation, the Holy Mother Church and her teachings, and of course, references to the Holy Theotokos, the birth giver of God, as is always typically at the ninth ode, will be that particular reference. And so these are like little signposts for us throughout this very difficult and challenging canon, that even as we are reminded in so many different ways of the condition of our own souls in this dialogue, that there's always an answer to it, though. And that answer, of course, is repentance. So the point of all of this is an honest evaluation, an inventory with God's help. And then when we do that, honestly and unflinchingly, we see the need for repentance. And when we do that, we are better able to turn our hearts in that direction. And this is, of course, only possible with God's help, because He is ultimately the source of redemption. He is the source of mercy and of compassion, of deliverance and freedom from oppression of evil. We literally turn from the darkness toward the light, which is the light of Christ, the light of the empty tomb. And that ultimately is the answer to this. We take this internal inventory of our souls. The canon is conducive to that dialogue, that very, very difficult inventory we must take, and we take it appropriately at the very beginning of Great Lent, but we know that there's an answer. Just as the capstone of Great Lent ends, and of course we enter into Holy Week, and we arrive at the Feast of Feasts, which is the Feast of the Resurrection, which is Pascha. Likewise, this very sort of cataclysmic and very dark dialogue doesn't have to be the final answer if we turn in repentance and if we ask for God's help in finding our way out. So, returning once again to Father Victor Potapov. One should not imagine that repentance consists of rooting around of one's personal sins, engaging in self-flagellation, and striving to expose in oneself as much evil and darkness as possible. To truly repent is to turn from the darkness to the light, from sin to righteousness, to understand that our life has been unworthy of its high calling, to confess before God how insignificant we are, and confess that our only hope is God Himself. True repentance is when, standing before the face of God, who, as the Apostle Peter says, has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, we understand that life was given to us so that we might become children of God, so that we might commune of the divine light. True repentance is reflected not so much in words as in deeds, in readiness to come to one the aid of others, to be opened with our neighbors, and to not become too involved in oneself. True repentance is understanding that while we do not possess the power to become true Christians, God is capable of making us so. As it says in the Great Canon, wheresoever God wishes, the order of nature is overcome. That is to say, where God so wishes, supernatural events occur. Saul becomes Paul. Jonah is brought out of the belly of the whale. Moses crosses the sea on the dry land. The dead Lazarus is resurrected. Mary of Egypt is turned from a harlot into a great righteous one. For according to the Savior, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Again, this is the very wise words of Father Victor Potapov with reference to the Great Canon of St. Andrew of Crete. So, may this clean week be an opportunity to take an honest inventory of our souls and to turn both inward toward the soul and outward toward our neighbor in a profitable and spiritually healthy way, that the fruits of repentance may be born in our hearts. God bless you all.